Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. That I'm going to have to do just a little bit of repetition. I've got good and bad news. The bad news is, because people usually want the bad news first, the church is not in Christ. The church is not in Christ. That's a heavy statement, but I need to explain what that means and tell you a couple of stories of what God has shown me about the state of the church. I know it's going to be overgeneralizing, and thank God there are people who are in Christ. And the church is a big, big institution or series of institutions. All right, we'll talk about that. The second part, which is the good news, is that I will explain it to you. That I believe that the second coming has actually commenced, and it's different than what people expect. In fact, it's probably going to be, at least initially, as different from expectations as was the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you a story and then read something regarding what it means when I say the church is not in Christ. Then I want to quote some scripture, some primary examples from Paul and John, especially, about what being in Christ means. And then probably next week, I don't think I'll get to it much today, I want to tell you about the nature of the second coming and what God has revealed to me. Yes, I believe that God has revealed some things to me, some of which I have shared with my congregations over the years. To begin with, I want to tell you a story about what happened to me last January, well, last, a long time ago, January 28th, 1978. That's a long time ago. I was at, and this is a repetition of last week, but hey, important stories bear repeating. I was at Marshalltown United Methodist Church in Marshalltown, Iowa, for the initial weekend of In Living Prayer retreat led by Danny Morris from the Upper Room. It was a big deal. It was the first time in Iowa. It was a whole new program. There were a couple of hundred of us, and we were learning about this weekend retreat, and then many of us, myself included, went and did a few to different churches, a few weekends of Living Prayer, trying to get people more into prayer. At any rate, it was Saturday morning. It was very cold, a cold January in Iowa, and we were in the fellowship hall. It was chilly there, too. But Reverend Morris began to read. We had a guided meditation, and so he began to read John 15, the first 11 verses. He would gently intone it, read it out loud while we had our eyes closed. We were all awake. And it was a guided meditation, and the idea was we were just supposed to go wherever the Spirit led us. And he would repeat those first 11 verses more or less continuously after brief breaks. Here are the verses. This is from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered together into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Isn't that an incredible statement of the meaning of being connected to Christ, of being in Christ as the branches are connected in the vine which feeds the branches, apart from which the branch cannot live? So apart from our spiritual union with Christ, we can do nothing in Christ. At any rate, Danny Morris continued to read that again and again, and I had a visualization as powerful as anything in my whole life. I found myself standing. This is the visualization, as real to me as now, right at this moment, is real me talking to you. I was standing in Glendale Cemetery in Des Moines, Iowa, in this visualization, facing east. I was seeking to go home. We used to have a home on 48th Street in Des Moines, the backyard of which was abutted by Glendale Cemetery. And there were some bushes that my brother and I, my fraternal twin brother, we would went to Franklin Junior High, and we would go over to Franklin Plaza, often at Reed's Ice Cream Shop, and get ice cream after school or whatever. And then we would cut across the cemetery, go under the hedgerow, and get home. Okay, so there I was, but instead of this hedgerow I could duck under, there was 8-10 feet high, at least, series of vines, thousands of vines, twisted, and all either dead or dormant with no discernible fruit. And I was holding this with both hands, and I remember having things feeling like, why is this here? Where's the vine dresser? Why has this been allowed to go and grow like this? You know, I've had many gardens in my life. You got to do something. You cut it back or tear it down. And then I heard something behind me, someone, it turns out. So still holding these vines, I turned back, which actually would have been west. And of course, the sun was setting. And maybe 10 feet from me was Jesus Christ. My friends, it was Jesus Christ. Now, the sun was setting, and it was to Jesus' right, just next to his face, was the setting sun, so bright that I could not see his face. But what he said to me, I'll take with me to the grave. He said it in a measured tone. Whenever God says something in a measured tone, listen up. He said to me in a way that I couldn't get a reading, like, well, you said that flatly, Jesus. What does it mean to you? Anyway, he said, this is my church. I'm telling you, I snapped right out of that meditation visualization. And there he was back, cold, in a church in Marshalltown, Iowa. Jeff Desser, what I believe is an epiphany, a revelation of Christ as to the state of the church. Now, of course, you could say, well, there are certainly exceptions. Yes, there are. There are people who are in Christ. Of course there are. But it's a statement about the general nature of where things are in the church. Well, needless to say, we had a break, and I went and prayed, and for years I asked Jesus the same question, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? Why'd you show that to me? It was more than 30 years later in a prayer that finally the words were there, I just wanted you to see it. Which I said, oh, that can't be of you. I mean, I just wanted you to see the nature of things. But as I considered it, I realized how important it can be. If you see something, don't you want to, powerful, don't you want to tell somebody? Don't you just want to share it so you're not alone? That's why back in Vietnam, they would never send one soldier out on a patrol, but you'd have to have someone with you. So if you hear a sound in the jungle, you could say, "Did you hear that? Am I crazy?" Now, years later, my friends, here's this new story in a marvelous book called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home by a noted Christian theologian and writer, one of the biggest writers on prayer in the 20th century, Richard J. Foster. One of the last sections of the book is called Radical Prayer. Now, listen to this story. Again, my thing happened January 28th, 1978. Well, Richard Foster was with his wife in the spring of 1978, right? 1978. He and his wife, Carolyn, were at the Oregon coast for a few days, and they were out on the coast, and the Oregon coast, of course, is gorgeous. And here, let me read from this, keeping in mind what happened to me earlier, because this is the spring of 1978. What happened next, I'm reading now, is hard to explain. I'd come to a cliff overlooking the beach. On top was a forest of hemlock, sitka, spruce, and western cedar. I was admiring one giant western cedar especially. I knew it took several centuries for this tree to attain its present size. Then, as I took three steps to the right, I saw what had been hidden from my view by the healthy tree, another extremely large but obviously rotting western cedar. Some sprouts of green went out on two sides, but it would only be a matter of time before the tree died, for its center was exposed. Apparently, it had been struck by lightning in some far distant past. Aside from the huge size of the two trees, there was nothing unusual in the scene. Here it is. But then, as I examined the decaying tree, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "This is my church." Huh? Wow. I continue to read. When I heard the words, tears came to my eyes. I had worked in churches all of my life, and I knew it was so. The church, while huge and with some vestiges of life remaining, was decaying. Then, for some reason unknown to me, I turned 180 degrees and looked back at Haystack Rock in the distance. That's a famous rock. Many of you may have seen it on television on the Oregon coast. The tide had come in by now, and the rock was completely surrounded by water, the waves savagely breaking against it. The divine word continued, "But this is what my church is going to be." Great hope rose up within me as I stared at this massive icon of strength and endurance. Isn't that a hopeful sign? Okay. Then I was given instruction that I assume was one of the primary reasons for the encounter. It was the guidance to pray for the rising up of a new generation of leaders, prophets of the apostolic mold, leaders who could once again gather the people of God into communities of radical faithfulness. With this, the experience seemed to draw to a close. And so I made my way back to tell Carolyn all the things I had seen and heard. Over the years since this encounter, I have sought to pray in the way I was instructed, though not as faithfully as I'm sure I should. But also, I get inklings that vast numbers of people around the globe have been given similar guidance. Yeah, that's my ad there. So that great waves of prayer for the rising up of prophetic leaders has been ascending to the throne of God throughout the years. Now I believe we are beginning to see prophets emerging, many of them in the third world countries. Prophets who are calling people into fresh, bold expressions of faithfulness and obedience. Let's take a short weather break as we gather in the meaning of those words.
Start your day with Morning Joel at 6 a.m. Here on KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1, the voice of Muscatine.
When you've got too much stuff, Plaza Storage can store all that.
Kitchenware.
Entire bedrooms.
Clothes.
Household goods.
Safe plus secure access and electronic gates. Camera enforced. Well-lit, clean, locally owned storage base. Sign up online at rentmuscatine.com.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC, AM 860, and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Cloudy skies expected today, with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 56. Northeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows level off around 44. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely 48. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Morning Joel brings you local news, sports, information, moving forward, and more. Weekday morning starting at 6 a.m. on KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1. The voice of Muscatine.
Y'all come back now, girl.
We are back now. The church is not in Christ. The church has lost its spiritual center of gravity, its act of living union with Christ. Now, let me say emphatically that God is not going to abandon or seek to replace the church with some new organization or religion, God forbid. Rather, God is going to do a new thing to the old church. Somehow, and this is up to God, not me, God's going to resurrect the spiritual life of the church through a renewed union with Jesus Christ. It's coming, it's happened to me, and I'm going to get there. I want to tell you about this incredible good news. God is not going to cease working toward our eventual union with Christ. So let me turn now and talk a bit about the meaning of the phrase in Christ. Being in someplace or other, right, because it's a spatial term, means either being in the inside looking out, like I am in jail, or in Muscatine, or in Iowa, or it refers to being on the outside looking in. Well, in Minnesota, well, in the 19th century, where our vantage point, again, is outside looking in. I'm convinced that the New Testament, especially the apostles John and Paul, were far more concerned with being in Christ and looking out in the world, like being in Christ was a state of your being, and then seeking to bring others into this kingdom of God, which is a relationship in which you live and move and have your being. However, most biblical scholars today, I don't think, know what to do with in Christ or in him or in you. Merely is something that they suggest is figurative, and it just is reduced to having faith or belief in Christ. They've reduced Scripture to refer to merely human mental or emotional states of being, thereby taking God and the miracles of God bringing us into actual communion with Christ and reducing it just to something in us or belief or whatever. So I'm going to offer now some of the more powerful and explicit passages from the New Testament which address the meaning, height, depth and breadth of what it means to be in Christ. So, first of all, in the New Testament, guess how many times the phrase in Christ occurs? 91 verses. Is that a few? Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat some and see how this kind of adds up. So I'm going to start with Romans. Romans 3, that we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we got this idea now looking, whatever it is that Christ Jesus brought, in him something has happened. Romans 6, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, God's in Christ, yes, and when we are in Christ, then we are with God. Also Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 is one of the great chapters. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that simply referring to only having faith or something more? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So being in the Spirit of Christ, you have been set free. This is not just a belief structure. This means something's actually happened to your soul, to your heart, to your inner being, so that Paul can also say in Romans that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also Romans, so we who are many are one body in Christ. It's not just faith, but when we're in this fellowship, we're one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. Okay. Now from 1 Corinthians. Paul says, to the church of God that is in Corinth and to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So something has happened. You get it? My friends, we don't necessarily understand what's really going on in the New Testament. It's the most radical book ever written. Something happened. You know, I'm a charismatic. I encountered the Holy Spirit in 1967, and then when I read Scripture, I could understand what Paul was saying. It's like I could see things in color that had been black and white before. So now, because I am in Christ, which I'll explain to you next week, I hope, I see this so clearly. Who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Also, this is the next few from 1 Corinthians. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. For this reason, I sent you Timothy. Hold on, I think I've got the wrong one. I'm giving you things that I have two sections of this, and I reduced it yesterday, and now I forgot. So never mind. Forgive me. I just want to pull up the ones that are the most significant. Still from 1 Corinthians. For as all die in Adam, so we will all be made alive in Christ. What? In Christ is true life. 2 Corinthians now, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us with you in Christ. Let me go down to one of my, dare I say favorite, one of the most significant passages from 2 Corinthians. But if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything is new. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. What does that mean? What does that mean if anyone is in Christ? Is it just a belief structure? If anyone is in Christ. Let me give you the verses before that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, right? When he was in the flesh, when he walked among us, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. Wow. And from Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Also from Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, meaning whether you're Jewish or not. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. Wow. Now from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I'm just reading this stuff. I could spend so much time in each of them, but I just want you to hear some of what's in Scripture, because for me, the impact is cumulative. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, and raised us up with him, seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're talking spatial here. We're talking reality. Wow. This is still from Ephesians. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared us beforehand to be on our way. Paul is addressing Christians who have been transformed by a union with Christ. That's what happened for this remarkable period of history. Still from Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wow. Philippians, which Paul wrote in prison. He was kind of in the third chapter summarizing his life. More than that, he said, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Directly, my friends, not just through a faith structure and hope. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. So I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. I've only got a couple minutes. Let me quick shift to the phrase in you. That's what John, the writer of John in the letters of John and perhaps Revelations. This is from John 14, Jesus speaking. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And of course, from John 15, which I've already read about abiding in Christ. It's all about being in Christ, which is kind of alien to the stuff that's being peddled by most churches today, where we sing great hymns, we hear interesting messages, frankly, that it's all about making you and me feel better so I can make it through the day. That's important, believe me. But the New Testament is about what comes about through our union with, through being in Christ. We're talking something different. You know, I spent 37 years serving 10 churches, close to 5,000 parishioners. And I've said this many times from the pulpit, the issue isn't just about God pleasing us. The issue is just as much about our pleasing God. Not merely by honoring God, but by desiring God to be in close connection. Now, next week, I'm going to address what does it mean to be in Christ and the second coming, because I'm now in a union with Christ that began for me in 2003, even though I've been serving. I'd already been serving as a pastor since 1972, but it was 2003 when the breakthrough happened. And I need to share that with you because I believe what I'm going to share next week is what is going to be coming. I'm going to make some bold predictions. My friends, if you would like to hear this again, it'll be on my website later this morning, drhalgreen, drhalgreen.com. Or if you'd like to write me, if you have any questions or issues, my email address is drhalgreen, drhalgreen@gmail.com. These are difficult but exciting times. God is at work with and in us. Amen.
KWPC, K236 CF Muscatine. Available everywhere you go. Download our free mobile app, voiceofmuscatine.com.